not only the growth in the signal, the growth in local programming, of course, all of that comes at a cost. Dun, dun, dun. It's membership drive week out there, everybody. So how the heck have you guys paid the bills over the years?
Very slowly.
We certainly had our share of fundraising events. As I mentioned previously, the pasta bar, and which I can't remember. I think we made between $10,000 and $15,000.
When I heard that number, I was just floored.
Well, we had over 200 people. I did a lot of work with that. I will take a lot of credit for that. But it was
that
a
must
fun,
have been some good pasta.
It was Sharon Raymond lived here at that time, and she was great chef, as it were, and others, and they whipped it up in the kitchen at the senior center. And then we also had a really interesting event that went on for just 3 years. Murder mysteries that I wrote along with Nancy Brown, who used to live here, and another fellow I can't remember the name, helped on the third year because Nancy had to kind of peel out of that effort. And the first year we murdered Click and Clack, the Tappet brothers.
Big loss.
Oh, that's right. Alan's not a fan.
He's the only one in the world that didn't like Car Talk. And then we murdered Garrison with a Prairie Home Companion. And this tells you how long ago it was. The third one was killing Ted Turner. Because he was a hotshot guy, of course, at that time, and very colorful, to say the least. Well, in the process of doing that, we really had to get permission from the Mariazzi brothers, as well as Garrison, and we did. They gave it to us. In fact, as I recall, I know that Tom and Ray made a little recording for us to play during that event.
Oh, nice.
I can't remember what it was, and I think Garrison did too. They were very, very short. But we also got a message from one or the other of them saying, gee, they signed it or they okayed it and they sent it back to us, but then they thought, gosh, what if something happens right about that same time? So the Zurls were kind enough to let us use their house for that event. It was $100 a head, and people had to come in character for public media characters and assorted others. And they did. Oh, boy, did they ever. People that were part of our community who were here as, name a character on public television or public radio, public media, and they were there. The food was marvelous. The music was marvelous. Johnny B. came up from Homer and played the piano for that, made up music on the spot. We had different MCs. Mark Berzin was one. Oh, let's see, who was another? I can't remember, but anyway, so we had these crazy clues. It was all spoof, just a big-time spoof. Clues all over the house, goofy clues. The Zurls were so accommodating that when we killed Ted Turner, for instance, we even got a big sail from a sailboat that Brenda and Paul down at used to have Snug Harbor Seafood gave us, and we rigged up that sail in their very large stairway entrance. I mean, it was wild. It was just wild.
I like the thought of expecting people to dress up like public radio characters.
They did. Well, here's Inspector Clouseau.
How does anybody know what we look like?
Well, Inspector Clouseau, Ned Megan.
All right.
He was marvelous. Marvelous.
That background of Marion's, I think we need to talk her into joining our fundraising committee.
Oh, Marion is a she's not a silent member of our fundraising committee, but she's answered many a question about fundraising for me. She's still definitely involved in that stuff. And that, of course, is Marion Nelson, former board member with KDLL. On the air today, we also have Alan Oxier, who is station manager emeritus here at KDLL and current board member Bill Larned. This is the Kenai Conversation on KDLL. It is about 10:35. And, I'm Jenny Nyman, by the way. I don't know if I said that or not. I'm the current general manager here at KDLL. So we are kind of looking back at the history and development of the station. We're going to do a little preview of what we've got going on for membership drive. And we would also like to answer your questions. If any listeners out there have always been wondering something about KDLL, feel free to give us a call. The number is 283-8414. So we've been talking a little bit about fundraising and paying the bills. Go ahead, Mary.
Well,
you got
let
one more
me
thing.
Add one thing about the murder mystery. We quit it because it took a long time to write it. We wrote the descriptions and details for 50 characters. That's a lot of writing.
Holy
and it
cow.
Took you know, a long time to do that. And we had Nancy and I had a whole lot of fun doing that, including the Jell-O component to kill Garrison, you know. It had to be there in Minnesota. Well, the reason we quit is at that time that we took to do that fundraising just could not, in this area, you know, it was $100 a ticket, which is pretty expensive for here. But, you know, it really needed to be in a larger community where you could charge $500 a ticket, because that's the kind of event it was. And we made the decision, along with the station manager, who was Dave Hammack at the time, that time was much better spent selling underwriting or hustling underwriting. And I cannot encourage that enough for people, businesses, and individuals. You can do this in an individual to sponsor underwriting on KDLL. It's, you know, it's the lifeblood of the station, really.
Yeah, membership for sure and underwriting are the two lifebloods of local support on KDLL. We have gotten back into doing some fundraiser-specific events, and you're right, it takes a lot of time. So there's always that question, like, well, it'll be super fun, and we'll probably make something off of it, but is it going to be worth the amount of time that it takes to put it on?
Right. You have to reach X thousands of dollars to make it worth your while. And, you know, you compare that with, you know, kind of running your rear end off selling or talking to people about underwriting. It's just the way to go. It just is. And it's worthwhile. I mean, this station has a whole lot more listenership over time. It's built up and built up and built up. And it's a worthy station to have your message on at this point for sure.
Yeah. And also, once someone becomes an underwriter, they almost never stop being an underwriter.
That says a lot.
Yeah, they carry forward.
That's amazing to me in my time here.
Yeah.
And when I got here, we were still doing a lot of fundraisers and the underwriting, and it was easier for me to do the underwriting and go to businesses and point out that, you know, here's our listenership, here's how many people are involved in the station, volunteers, how many members we have. And this is the place you need to have your underwriting announcement that will serve the purpose of advertising, but it's not quite the same. But once they get their message on the station, again, very, very seldom will they stop.
And our listeners are super loyal, too.
Yes, they are.
I've heard people go into businesses or patronize someone that they heard doing underwriting just because they heard, hey, you support public radio. I'm going to support you.
Absolutely. Right.
And they will tell that to the merchants, too. Whereas if you listen to one of the commercial stations and you get commercials all day long, you don't even bother mention it. You know, I listen to such and such radio. But if they listen to public broadcasting, they say thank you very much for underwriting the programs that I listen to.
Yeah, and that's one of the questions I get quite a bit is what is the difference between advertising and underwriting? So the way that I kind of explain it, and Alan, I probably should have run this by you before I went running my mouth off on this. But
tricky. It's a little tricky.
So we are, of course, publicly funded, and so part of that is you are not to compete with private business in your sector. So that's why we don't do advertising. Advertising being promotional, right? So you can say whatever you want to say. You can say it in a way that's, you know, funny voices and sound effects and all that cool stuff. Public radio underwriting is meant to be informational. So we're going to share what you do, where you do it, when you do it, how folks can get in touch. But we're not going to talk about you're the biggest and the greatest and they get on down there and $10 off this, that, or the other thing. So we're more about sharing, you know, verifiable, true, functional, useful information to let folks know who you are, where you are, and how they can patronize you rather than. And any comment that might be debatable is a little harder for us to put in underwriting.
You can't have any kind of a call to action.
Right.
For example, come by and see us. Call us for information. Those are all call to actions. You can say the phone number is, but you can't say call us. You can say we provide XYZ services, but you can't say we're the biggest, the best. So it's no comparative verbs or comparative nouns, adjectives. It has to be, again, straightforward. This is what we do. This is what where we're located. And this is how to contact us.
Yeah, and the byproduct of that, of course, is brevity.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very brief, so there's way more time for programming than for any form of advertising or promotion.
It's an acceptable interruption is the way I would look at it, and I definitely appreciate the people who do underwrite. I value them just like I value the station.
When I was the station manager, and I'm kind of assuming that the regulations are more or less the same, in a commercial station, you may have up to 18 minutes of commercials per hour. And assuming that those are 30-second advertisements, that's 18 and 18, what, 36? So 36 different announcements in 1 hour. On public radio, you may not have more than 6 minutes of underwriting announcements. So would you rather be one of 12 or one of 36? That's one way to sell underwriting.
And I feel like all those rules are for a very good purpose. Public radio and commercial radio are two completely different animals.
Yes,
we serve two completely different purposes. That's not to say we don't have overlap audience. We absolutely do. Mm-hmm. But we are here to be informational. We are here to not have a lot of opinions and a lot of yelling and screaming and things like that. We definitely, of course, want all of our programming to be entertaining as well. But our highest and best reason for why we choose to put something on the air isn't necessarily because it will be entertaining. Personally, I find Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly meetings entertaining, but because I enjoy that kind of thing, it's never going to win a ratings war with like a top 40s music show. But at public radio, we find it important to keep our citizenry informed and to provide that service. That's not a thing that you're going to hear on commercial radio because there's no profit margin to it. So we can do things on the air that don't necessarily have to make money per minute that's being aired.
That's been a very good thing, though. That's a great marriage to have that on the air. And there's a lot of people, of course, that listen to that. Not a lot of people, by comparison, can go to every assembly meeting, but they can listen on the radio. And so people who never knew what 91.9 was even about found us because of the borough meetings. And that's just been a very good thing for the station.
Yeah, I enjoy that we do that. We
absolutely
actually just got the announcement yesterday that we got a grant from the Kenai Peninsula Foundation to get some equipment so we can do more live remotes. So like when the governor was in town talking about budgets and when the House Finance Committee was in town doing a listening session, we were able to go and air that live, and now we're going to have the capability to do more of that kind of stuff. So again, those sorts of things, no, not going to win a ratings war, but we feel like it's a service that we provide to the community, and that's what we're here for. We want to be good stewards of that public funding that we get. Oh, we got a caller on the air. Hello, this is KDLL. Can you hear us?
I am there.
All right. Oh, is this a current board member, perhaps? I recognize the voice.
It is a board member. Hello, all you wonderful public radio folks who are in there in the station today. This is Sally Cassano calling. And I just wanted to let everyone know, and our listeners know as well, how proud I am to serve on KDLL's board and be part of that station. And, you know, everywhere I've lived since 1988, I have been a member of public radio. I believe in it with all my heart, and I just think we have some of the finest radio folks and journalists on the peninsula, if not in the state.
Well, thank you, Sally. We appreciate that.
And that's my comment.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, we'll
you
take
bet.
It.
And be sure to tune in to Dead Musicians every Wednesday night at 7.
Yeah,
that is
hosted
true.
Hosted by Sally.
And Sally is now our president, board president.
Oh, she is indeed.
Really? Oh, Sally, I'm sorry.
So talking about fundraising and funding, of course, the public funding is kind of the elephant in the room for this membership drive. We don't quite know where we're going to end up in the state budget. Currently, we are in the version that the legislature is looking at. The governor has definitely suggested making a lot of very tight cuts. If the budget as he proposed it had gone through to this point, there would be no public media funding for the state of Alaska going forward. That would be that That would be a double whammy for KDLL. Folks have asked, you know, what would be the impact on you guys? So we receive funds from the state of Alaska, and that is a large portion of helping us with our, you know, our equipment costs, our operational costs, our staffing costs. And then that money is used for our federal match requirement. So we also get some federal funding, being a public radio station. And again, in order to be good stewards of that funding, they want to see a local fundraising match. So they don't want to just give money to a station just because you say, hey, I'm a public radio station and I'm great. They want to see that you are supported by your community. So all the money we raise through membership, through underwriting, through fundraising, and of course through our state support counts toward our federal match. That federal match went up by $50,000 a couple years ago. So
went up in that we owed that much.
Yes. So we now
didn't get that.
No. We didn't get any more money to maintain our same level of funding. We, instead of having to show $250,000, we now have to show $300,000 every year. So that's been a little nerve-wracking. And on top of that, we have grown a bit in recent years. When I was brought on to KDLL, the board had made a decision that they were going to invest in staff in order to grow local programming. So, Bill, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about that at the board level, because you guys took a "if we build it, they will come" approach. You did not have the money. Your budget, the revenue that you guys were taking in at the time, did not cover the growth that you committed to, and that's a scary thing for a nonprofit to do. You had some money in reserve, you decided to take a pretty big leap. And I'm, as coming from a journalism background, I was just so shocked to see an organization that went, no, we want local news, we want local content, and we are willing to take this leap to pay for it.
Well,
so
we were
talk about how that came about.
Sticking our necks out a little bit, but I think we were trying, you know, a big part of that was trying to communicate with the supporters, the members, and so forth, and step up that and say, you know, with our new high priority for local programming, we're going to need some local folks, you know, where the rubber meets the road for that. So we had to get at least one and hopefully two positions for reporters, you know, plus fill our, our position that you have now as general manager. So now I don't know what more I can say for it, other than we were willing to stick it out and just hope for the best in a way, but work hard to generate the funds to cover it.
Yeah. And we've definitely made progress over the last 2 years.
Maybe get a little blushing here from our general manager, but you know, she has just been amazing part of that and taken this bit in her teeth on the local programming and other things and fundraising and all the rest. She's involved in everything. And
I see that bit is still there.
Yeah, it's still there. And I became a fan of Jenny when I met her years ago. I can't even remember what year it was when she first moved to this community. And
2001.
Yeah, and I talked her into doing a little interview with me and work on for a little local clarion story about local business people. And my wife has a Montessori preschool, and she interviewed me on that, and I was really impressed with her at that point, how she did that, how she interviewed and wrote it. And then it's just been, from there on, it's just been one amazing thing after another.
Aw, so, thank you, Bill. I will cut your mic off.
Is a cliche that's not nearly adequate.
Well, thank you.
Jenny, you have
that
to mention the T-shirt.
So
I woke up with.
So my first iteration at KDLL, I got hired to be the morning edition host and morning news reporter, which was a new position at KDLL.
AM.
And I was running a newspaper at the same time, and man, that workload was hefty. So I made it here. I was on the air at 6 a.m. every morning, but I was often a little blurry, and some very dear friends of mine one of the local coffee establishments thought they would be cute and had some T-shirts made up that said, "I wake up with Jenny."
Isn't that something?
Although, so they wore that to embarrass me, which luckily I don't embarrass all that easy, so I thought that was great. But to this day, one of those folks during membership drives, if I wear that shirt, she will call in and make a donation.
Worth it right there. Yeah. Got to play all the angles
that
for sure.
Right. So we're coming up on 10:50. We got about 10 minutes left, and I don't want to not tell you all about what we've got coming up for spring membership drive this week. So it kicks off, well, it kicks off now as kind of a preview. And then tomorrow morning, starting at 6 a.m., we're going to have some phone answerers in here ready to take your calls. And we, the last couple drives, we've really tried to focus on local programming. We feel like that's, you know, what the community wants from KDLL. So we've been kind of showing off what we can do in that regard. But people get nervous that we're going to like kick news off the air. So no, you will still get your morning edition and you're here and now. We'll do pitch breaks during the just normal programming breaks. And then on Thursday, coming up at 9 a.m., we're going to do a Kenai Peninsula version of Performance Today. As I like to say, who needs Carnegie Hall? We've got some world-class musicians right here on the Kenai Peninsula. So I like to take that hour to highlight some of our local folks and the amazing things that they can do. Coming up at 10 a.m., we've got a story by Shaylin. Education funding has been one of the hottest topics of the legislative session. And when cuts are discussed, arts programs are often at the top of the list. Local art educators and students talk about what goes on in art classrooms and what kind of skills come out of that learning. Next up, from 11 a.m. to noon, the Cooper Landing Community Club will celebrate its 70th anniversary this weekend. And Cooper Landing's unofficial, but I really think it's official. Everyone knows this. Cooper Landing's historian is Mona Painter. And she has helped chronicle most of those 70 years, and she has got some pretty great stories to tell. So Shaylin sat down with her for that hour. And then at noon, the Kenai Peninsula Transportation Task Force is driving toward a very important goal of improving and expanding public transportation on the peninsula. The group is revising its five-year plan and has exciting new developments on the horizon. Yes, that's right, public transportation in the Central Peninsula. So tune in and find out what the plan is and how you can weigh in. That's going to be a live show with Jay, so you can call in with your questions and comments. From 1 to 3, we are going to mix things up here at KDLL and introduce you to some of our evening DJ shows. I think some of our daytime listeners maybe don't make it back to the dial for our evening shows, and we've got a really great roster of DJs right now, so I want to get you daytime people to be aware of what goes on at 7 p.m. here on KDLL. So we're going to highlight some of those folks. Then from 3 to 4, Soldotna's Ted Spraker has served on the State Board of Game for nearly two decades. If you have had anything to do with hunting or wildlife on the Kenai Peninsula, you know of Ted. He will be handing over the reins when his term as chairman ends next year. So Shaylin sat down with him to reflect on the recent round of game board meetings and what they might mean for hunting here on the Kenai and the advice that he has for his eventual replacement on the board. And then from 4 to 6, we're going to return, of course, to NPR's All Things Considered with the KDLL Evening News. And we will have folks here to take your calls up until 6 p.m. So that is Thursday. As if that weren't enough, we're doing it again on Friday. So Friday, same schedule, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Give us a call, 283-8433. We're doing Morning Edition in Here and Now from 6 a.m. to 9. At 9, we're going to have Econ 91.9, of course, and then Classical Kenai after that. At 10 a.m., fundraising efforts for the American Cancer Society are reaching a fever pitch ahead of the 2019 Relay for Life, which is coming up on June 1st. Relay has a new location in Soldotna this year, but the same determination to cure cancer. So we're going to have some really great guests live in the studio. Again, you can call in with your questions on that one. At 11 a.m., the native inhabitants of the Kenai Peninsula before Western contact were masters at adapting to this land. Dr. Alan Boris, anthropology professor at Kenai Peninsula College, presents Yaganin, The Time Before, which is a discussion about the lives of the Dena'ina people who have lived and thrived here for 1,000 years. from 1 to 3, we're going to do a concert preview for your all, for all of you. KDLL is doing a fundraiser concert on June 25th at the Flats Bistro in Kenai. We're going to bring in Tumble Down House. And throughout this entire membership drive, we are going to be raffling off some amazing concert tickets. We have 3-day passes to Salmon Fest.
Wow.
We have tickets to that Tumble Down House concert. We also have passes to the Rockin' the Ranch out at the Rusty Raven Plant Ranch. That's a 2-day concert festival in July. And we've also got Kenai Peninsula Orchestra tickets to give away.
Wonderful.
So we're going to highlight some of that music so you guys know what you could win. And to win, all you got to do is get a hold of us. You could give us a call. You could stop by. You could make a donation online. You could mail us something as long as we hear from you by the end of the drive. Of course, we hope that hearing from you comes with a membership donation. But if you just want to call in and say that, hey, you're listening, we will enter you into that raffle. So following up on Friday from 3 to 4 p.m., we are talking food business. Getting into the food business is a risky proposition. And staying in it for 2 decades is a pretty rare feat. So we're going to dig into the local food scene with longtime restaurateur Chris Fallon, who co-owns Jersey Subs and is nearing the end of his career there. And newcomer to the food scene, Joe Spady, who has Three Peaks Mercantile. Then we're going to wrap up Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. again with All Things Considered and the KDLL Evening News. And then on Saturday mornings, of course, most of Saturday has some of our most popular programs, of course, of the entire week. So we're not going to take those away from you. But all of those syndicated programs do special kind of best of episodes once a year. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be airing those for you guys. So at 10 a.m., we're going to have a best of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Noon to 1, Best of Splendid Table. 1 to 2, Living on Earth. 2 to 4, Live from Here with Chris Thiele. And then at 11 a.m., it's the week for Drinking on the Last Frontier with Bill Howell. So Bill's going to do a fun live show. We're going to get the folks from Kenai River Brewing in here, and they're going to talk about their new venture at Kenai Joe's. And they're going to answer your questions live on the air. So if you have any beer or brewing questions, tune in 11 a.m. to noon, and they can answer those for you.
Boy, I really applaud them taking over Kenai Joe's. That is just absolutely brilliant on their part. And wonderful for Kenai, too. It's great.
Yeah. So they're going to tell us about that. They're planning on keeping that character as much as possible, I understand. But that building needs some work. So how they're going to update and expand and still keep Kenai Joe's. I am interested to hear that one for sure.
I have to tell you that a former sister-in-law was visiting. This is decades ago when there was still sawdust on the floor in Kenai Joe's. And we went down there one night. That's when Hobo Jim was there on a regular basis. It was the place to go for everybody. And she was watching her feet as we're walking in the door. And she said, oh, they don't sweep here very often, do they? And we got in the door and she said, oh, yeah, she realized the atmosphere was part and parcel of the sawdust on the floor, for sure.
Yeah, I had to be convinced that I really could throw my peanut shells on the floor first time in Kenai Joe's. I wasn't going to do it. I kept wrapping them in a napkin. And enough people angrily told me, no, they go on the floor. So I finally reluctantly did it. But I think I only threw two or three and the rest of them I carried out to the trash.
Well, it's a clean floor.
Couldn't get there. Yes.
Yeah, it's a whole different deal.
All the detritus is now cleaned up. So that is membership drive, and you folks will all be back joining me throughout those 3 days back on the microphones. We definitely appreciate that. And all of our volunteers, encourage people to come out to the studio and visit with folks. Definitely give us a call. Whatever you can do to show your support for KDLL, we appreciate it. We need it. It goes to a good cause, and now's the time to do it.
And membership is the most important segment of our funding sources. That is everything else depends on the membership. If you're listening, you should be a member. Give us a call.
Oh, there it is.
Absolutely.
Even better yet, come down and hang out with us a little bit while we're manning the phones and stuff.
Because I know it gets a little lonely out here if we don't have visitors.
There are some spots where we could use some stimulation, so that would be really good.
All right. Well, we need to get back to our regular programming here. We are coming up on 11 a.m. Marian Nelson, Alan Oxier, and Bill Larned. Thank you guys so much for being here today. We really appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, everybody. Have a great day.